Would there be any change in the strength of the GPS signals far away and under the power line? And I also did, that was just one double circuit 345. I also did the same thing at another location that had a double circuit 120, a double circuit 345, and another double circuit. When I say double circuit, there's two sets of three wires. So it would be the equivalent of four times as many 345 kV lines as this project is proposing to use. Now, the two top figures on the right are simply graphs of the signal strength, the vertical axis of signal strength of the various satellites that I tracked. On the bottom, you can see its distance. So, for example, on the top graph, you'll see I started at zero, driving toward the 345 line, which is over at around 240 feet or so. And you can see what you're looking for is a big change in the satellite signal strength as you drive under the power lines. And in both cases, you don't see any change in these satellite signal strengths. Now, in this top case, one of the satellites, the signal started dropping off, and that was when I was a couple hundred feet beyond the power line near some really tall trees. And that's what I was looking for. When you go under the power line, you're looking to see, does anything like that happen? Now, I wouldn't have expected that to happen based on my earlier work. And so essentially this shows that there's no effect on the received signal strength due to the transmission line.
And could you provide any other practical examples of microwave devices similar to GPS being successfully used near high voltage transmission lines?
Yes. There's a common practice in the United States these days of mounting cell phone base station antennas and high-accuracy GPS antennas directly on transmission lines. And that's a practical example of successful use of GPS and similar microwave signals near power lines. Cell phones are actually not radios. They're not telephones. They're just small microwave radios. And cell phones operate at frequencies very similar to GPS, around 1 to 2 billion cycles per second. And some cell phone companies even use the same signal modulation scheme that GPS uses. Across the country now, cell phone companies are mounting and installing cell phone base station antennas directly on transmission lines. Now, this is significant because the microwave cell phone signals from distant users are received by the base station, and they're located, the antennas are located close to energized high voltage conductors on the towers. Indeed, the signals do pass through the region occupied by the conductors. Also, there's extensive use of GPS by the cell phone industry. And the cell phone industry uses GPS for precise timing. Each GPS satellite has four different atomic clocks on it. These atomic frequency standards are used for precise timing in the operation of cell phone networks. And cell phone companies are mounting GPS antennas directly on high voltage towers. And as the use of GPS applications continues to grow, such as phone locating and real-time mapping, you're going to see more and more use of this. So given the fact that the cell phone industry is mounting GPS antennas and they're in their own phone antennas on towers, they wouldn't be doing this if interference were a concern to them.
And if you can look again at the exhibit book at what has been previously marked as exhibits 18 and 19.
Yes.
Do you recognize those?
Yes.
Could you tell us what they are?
Exhibit 18 are photographs of cell phone antennas installed on a transmission line. And Exhibit 19 are photographs of GPS antennas being installed directly on transmission lines.
And did you take these photos yourself?
Yes, I did.
And where were they taken?
These photos were taken in California, Maryland, Michigan, and British Columbia.
And approximately when were they taken?
Over the period of the last 10 years.
I would offer Exhibits 18 and 19.
Mr. Sagsveen.
No objections.
Exhibit 18, consisting of three pages, and Exhibit 19, consisting of three pages, are each received.
Could you please describe for us what is shown in the photos in the two exhibits?
Okay. Exhibit 18 shows a variety of cell phone base station antennas installed on transmission lines. On the first page, they're installed on the top of a 230 line. The next figure is a 500 kV line. The bottom of page one are cell phone antennas installed on top of double circuit 345 kV lines. And similarly, the next page shows antennas being installed above and below the transmission line antennas on a large transmission line. Some companies actually install them on the basket part between the wires. The last page shows antennas installed, the actual base stations below the tower. And the bottom one shows two, on page three of exhibit 18, the bottom figure shows two 500 kV towers in which not only cell phone but a variety of other communications antennas are installed on transmission lines, police and fire and so forth radios. Exhibit 19 are pictures of the GPS antennas that phone companies use for system timing that I referred to. And they're the little small white antennas that you can see, and I put a little arrow on the various pictures showing that these antennas as well as are being installed directly on the transmission tower legs.
And do electric power companies use GPS near high voltage transmission lines?
Yes. Electric power companies themselves use GPS for many applications, such as precision timing that's used in SCADA applications. They do their system frequency monitoring, protective relaying, and many other important applications. And I've been informed that Minn Kota itself has GPS antennas that are critical to their system operations that are mounted directly inside of high voltage electric power substations.
And can you comment on the potential for transmission line structures to affect GPS?
Yes, it could be possible under certain circumstances that if the line of sight between one satellite and the user could be briefly affected while passing close to a large steel tower. For the proposed transmission line, this is probably not as likely due to the use of steel poles instead of large lattice towers, because the steel poles are just smaller than the lattice towers. I should also point out that operating a GPS receiver close to any obstruction, such as a building, a tall fence, a tree, or farm equipment, such as a crop wagon, could also potentially temporarily block, for example, one satellite, depending on the relative instantaneous alignment of the satellite and the user. You have to remember these satellites are moving all the time, so the amount of time that lasts might be brief. Blocking a satellite may or may not affect GPS use, depending upon how many satellites are being used. If it did occur, it would be temporary. And this effect is further minimized by modern precision units that both use GPS satellites and they use the Russian constellation of satellites as well. And the importance of that is it means you're looking at more satellites. So if you're tracking eight satellites and temporarily lost one, it would not affect your use of GPS.
And have you seen a change in the capability and design of GPS equipment over the years?
Yes. It is increasing at an amazing pace. GPS equipment is constantly improving, and manufacturers are designing their systems for an array of sophisticated applications. It's a very competitive market, and each company is seeking to provide the best and the most robust guidance system they can. And so whenever there's a new design feature, it's usually not long before all of the companies have it in some fashion or another.
And when designing their equipment, do GPS manufacturers take into account the environment in which the equipment will be used?
Yes, I have met with GPS manufacturers, and I've given lectures at some of their conferences. In general, high-quality GPS manufacturers supply GPS units that are designed to function in the environment for which they're intended to be operated. Since there are over 300,000 miles of high-voltage transmission lines in the United States, GPS manufacturers can reasonably anticipate that an electric power line would be one part of a diverse operating environment for their GPS equipment. In addition, there are continuing improvements to the GPS system itself. The Air Force is adding new and stronger signals for the next generation of satellites, which they started launching 2 years ago. And all of that will enhance reception and performance.
And Mr. Silva, what is your conclusion with respect to the concern that GPS devices may experience interference when in proximity to the proposed transmission line?
Well, based on the theoretical work I did and the practical measurements that I performed, I do not believe it's likely that GPS receivers will be unable to receive the satellite signals near the proposed 345 kV transmission line. The fact that cell phone industry mounts cell phone base stations and high accuracy GPS antennas on high voltage transmission towers further supports my conclusion.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Sagsby.
Was your theoretical work and your practical measurements, were they done in conjunction with each other?
It was part of the same research project.
And I saw some dates on the pictures. Was all of that finished in 1999?
In around 2000.
2000.
But
do you, go ahead.
Oh, the measurements were, yes.
Okay. Do you recall the heights of the line above your vehicle as you were driving under them, or did you try to keep it steady, or?
I tried to drive generally at the lowest point. So that would be closest to the vehicle. I do not recall the height. I would imagine it was on the order of 35 to 40 feet.
I guess the only reason I ask is I want to look at Exhibit 16, the bottom picture. It's like all the lines are on a hill, and I don't know if that's the spot where you were using as a measurement and how that would equate with something that might be used in the line that's being proposed here.
That particular picture was taken near the Tesla substation that PG&E operates in California, and I was making measurements to both look at the substation and the transmission lines. The measurements that I showed in Exhibit 17 were at the mid-span, always at the mid-span at the lowest point. I did do several sets of measurements, but I always picked the lowest point of sag. And in Exhibit 17, since they were 345 lines, I would estimate the conductor height on the order of 35 feet or so, maybe 40 feet.
And I was glad that you were asked about the new equipment, because I was going to ask you whether or not you are familiar with new GPS equipment and whether or not it's designed in a fashion to accommodate maybe our growing transmission structure. Do GPS companies warn buyers to be wary of transmission lines, or is that part of the maybe a warning process that they might give?
Some of the early GPS manuals did mention power lines as a potential source of interference. Since my papers, and as I say, I've sent all of my work, and I've visited and GPS companies and given lectures. I've actually taken GPS engineers, for example, at Trimble, that were designing new equipment out in the field and showed them where to find sites to test their equipment. I have examples of some of the newer manuals. For example, I have one that says, how do power lines affect the GPS signal? And the answer is normally high voltage power lines do not affect the GPS signal at all. So some of the newer manuals that are updated, you know, since I've done my work, they list sources of interference. And they're usually things like ignition systems on the vehicle and computers and things like that. But they don't list power lines anymore.
Now, I have to apologize. I don't own a tractor I don't own a tractor or a GPS device. But are there any technologies that are associated with GPS technology or that are used in conjunction with them, maybe in tractors that might be interfered with?
I mentioned AM radios, potentially.
Okay. Are there, I don't have any further questions.
Mr. Lean?
I'm just curious as to whether cell phones would maybe cause problems with GPS signals?
Cell phones operate a maximum of about 0.6 watt. If you were to hold it really close, the antenna really close to a then you're down to the point of it depends on the GPS receiver. If you're an engineer type person, what you do is you hammer the front end, the preamp of the circuit, and overloads it, and you could affect it in the way walkie-talkies do potentially. But you know, you'd have to be relatively close.
Okay. Thanks. No further questions.
Commissioner Kramer.
This is the most thorough record I can imagine on this topic. I can't think of anything I could ask to improve it.
I would agree. Commissioner Cook, having said that, I'm sorry.
You know I can't pass it up, Judge.
Go ahead.
Dr. Silva, as much as I'd like to talk more about what you did with the Soviets in the 70s, I'll hold off the break for that. But the... I really appreciate, like Kevin pointed out, I mean, it's very thorough testimony. But I did have a couple questions about, when you talk about the RTK, like the correction, if you will, what's, again, a practical example of things that might be on the ground to help correct that, if I understood that right?
Well, the way differential corrections work in general, the general concept is, you have errors in position due to the atmosphere. The way GPS works.
But what's just a practical example of something that would aid in that doesn't have to be put up, that's already there? If I go out here in Northwood, what are something that might give us that real-time correction that's in the town of Northwood?
It would have to be a GPS base station that's installed. It has to look at the satellites and compute the amount of error.
Okay, so those aren't things that would readily be available, but if they're somewhere, they would help.
No.
Okay.
In fact, the base station I showed on the farm and all, some of those are pretty darn expensive. That's why farmers use co-ops and other people. No, you have to observe the satellite. The equipment has to observe the satellites. It's not moving, and it computes the errors, and it broadcasts a correction to take those errors out back to you. But there's nothing. Unless it's a GPS base station designed to do it, there's no other equipment that would
okay.
do that.
Okay, that's
if that's what you're asking.
That was it, exactly. Okay. And then I think what I kind of heard is that any kind of visual obstruction could potentially throw off GPS. So if you look at a power line like a visual obstruction, that could cause some problems, but that would be no different than a building, like you said.
Yeah, you would have to be close to it, and it have to be lining up exactly with one of the satellites, yeah. And
okay.
it could knock off briefly one satellite. Most of the GPS companies know that, and you're able to...
Redundancy.
Yeah, you're able to go on.
What is the reliability of GPS? Is there like an industry standard that 10 years ago a GPS device would have been 70% accurate, and now it's 90% accurate? Is there some kind I assume it's gotten better.
It has gotten better. It got really good in May of 2000 when the military turned off selective availability. The military degraded the GPS signal by 70 to 100 meters randomly. I put a GPS receiver on my house and plotted my house's position for 24 hours, and it wandered all over the place. Some places it wandered 280 feet away, and obviously my house isn't moving. The military cranked in random error. For civilian users, there are two GPS signals. There's a military signal that's heavily encrypted, and there's a civilian signal. And they, in 2000, by presidential order, they turned off selective availability, which was the biggest source of error. And it kind of became useless because the civilian population and farmers and others figured out how to work around it by using differential corrections. They figured out a way to subtract out all that error that the military was cranking in, so it kind of using the method differential corrections.
Okay.
So I would say in the following, if you're using GPS just in general in your car or something like that, you can probably get within 5 or 10 meters of accuracy. If you are using the WISE satellite correction system that the FAA provides, you can probably get say within 3 meters or so. Most of the little handheld hiking units now use the WISE satellites, and farmers require for some applications, and there are also differential corrections broadcast by the U.S. Coast Guard. Even though it says Coast Guard, they built a number of inland differential correction stations.
Okay, that's good.
You can get within a meter. My unit without RTK could get about 1 foot accuracy. Then when you move on up to RTK, you can get within inches. And some people specify they can get within 1 inch accuracy using real-time kinematic plus differential corrections. Okay. All of that costs more. I mean,
I'm there, Doc. Yeah. I guess the last question I'd ask is going back to yet another previous life. I taught and researched at North Dakota State, and we do all this work, and I put out my research, and the next day there'd be a paper that we published that would say they didn't agree with my research. You always have two different viewpoints. To your knowledge, is there anyone that functionally disagrees with your research?
No, and quite frankly, that's why I involved Dr. Lang from Trimble Navigation and Dr. Olson from Washington State. I wanted really to perform this research with the GPS community involved and with academia involved, professors that teach electromagnetic compatibility. The bottom line is there's just really no scattering going on, and it just doesn't produce microwave signals. Power lines don't. So really you're down to can a tower partially block one of the satellites as potentially. I've investigated two cases where people are sure that power lines cause interference. In both cases, it was something else. One case, it was a walkie-talkie. In the other case, it was lights on a vehicle. They had a short in them. But the person looked up and saw a power line nearby and assumed, it must have been a power line. But I know of no published work that's been done that would disagree with what I found. I mean, quite frankly, the people are using GPS all over the United States, all over the world now, around power lines. I mean, if this was some obvious problem, it would be pretty obvious to everybody by now.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
Anything further from the commission? Follow-up, Ms. Smith?
No.
Mr. Sagsveen? Mr. Lean?
No questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Silva.
Thank you, sir.
Let's take 10 minutes, please. Not any more than 10 minutes. It makes it 20 after 3.